So we are in week three of a series we began called Breaking Free. And we began a couple Sundays ago talking about, from the Gospel of John, how love won't let you go and love won't leave you alone. That no matter how far gone it seems, Jesus loves us so much that he'll never quit on you. He'll never bail on you. He'll never stop. Even when we're in a mess and it is nasty and it is stinky and it is awful, the Bible teaches us that Jesus doesn't run from us when we're in a mess. He runs to us. It's all about loving you no matter what. And Jesus, with his best friend at the time, Lazarus, who was in the tomb, the Bible says that Lazarus, even though he was dead, Jesus spoke life to him and he came to life. But when Lazarus came out of that tomb, he was still wrapped up and bound up. So he had new life. So it took us to a whole nother level that even though we have a lot of believers who have experienced new life in Jesus because his love won't leave us alone and won't let us go, they still walk out of the tomb bound, wrapped up, hands tied, eyes covered, legs bound, and are ineffective for the kingdom of God because of bondage. And so it's time to rip the grave clothes off. We followed that up with a message called The Truth About Lies, where we started dealing with the deception that the enemy has played and wreaked havoc in our lives. And it led us to a main verse that I really want to start off by reading. It's in your notes. We'll put it up on screen. And I want to start this service by reading this together, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. The Bible says this, "For though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world." Watch this. "On the contrary," because remember, we're in a battle, whether you like it or not, we're in a battle. "The weapons we use, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." Now, there is the key word that we've been focusing on through this series, stronghold. Everybody say stronghold. When I have you repeat words, it's not just because I want to hear you say it. It's because I want you to hear you say it, all right? Stronghold. What do you do with a stronghold? What in the world is a stronghold? A stronghold is that part in your life that just won't go away. It's that one reoccurring issue that you deal with over and over again. Maybe you get free from it for about a week, maybe a month, some of you even a year. But for some reason, it has this sneaky way of getting back into your life, and you have a hard time getting rid of it, breaking free from it. It's the thing that you write on your resolution list every single year. Every year you think, I'm going to do better, I'm going to do better, I'm going to beat this, I'm going to do better. And every year you write the same thing down year after year. It's a stronghold, and that's what we're talking about. And what do we do with strongholds? The Bible says we demolish them. We demolish the strongholds, and the reason that they are there is because our spiritual enemy, the devil, he has lied to you, and he has lied to me, and he has pretended that that thing in your life is bigger than it really is. He's pretended that that thing in your life that you can't seem to overcome has more power in your life than it really does. And the biggest issue isn't that he lied, it's that we believed it. And because we believed it, we started living our life based on that lie. And so a lie that's believed to be true can still affect your life as if it were true, even though it's not. A lot of us are living our life based on a deception, based on a lie, based on a problem, based on an insecurity, based on the past, based on a struggle, and we bought it. So the Bible says that we demolish those arguments and every pretension, which was last week's message, that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. See, I want to learn to think about me the way God thinks about me. I want to learn to think about me the thoughts that God has about me. God's not thinking death and destruction about you. Somebody say amen this morning. And so we take our weapons and we put these strongholds, we put these negative thoughts in a rear naked choke. Any UFC fans in here? All right? In a chokehold. We force it, command it to obey, and then we replace it with the truth of God's word. And so we looked into this series and we thought, all right, So there's a lot that we want to cover in here. And if I'm being honest, if we were to take every single issue that all of us deal with collectively across this room, we could have made this a 25-week series. But I didn't want to do that. That's a long time to talk about a lot of nasty stuff. So I thought, let's just take 4 weeks. Let's lay a foundation, get into the doctrine and theology of this, and then let's deal with some specific issues. And so today and next Sunday are the specific issues. Next Sunday, we're going to deal with breaking free financially because financial problems wreak havoc all over this region and all of our lives. And so next Sunday, we're going to deal with scripturally how to break free financially. Now, next Sunday is a day where we are going to pray and specifically minister for those of you who are believing God for some financial breakthroughs. So whether it's related to a mortgage or related to a job or related to debt or related to any kind of issue, it could be a lawsuit, it could be anything. You could be trying to buy something or sell something and you're claiming the favor of God. You could be believing God for a new job or a promotion at the job you've got. You could be believing God for all kinds of things. But if you've been believing for a financial breakthrough and have not seen it, next Sunday that God's going to place a special anointing here to do that. And so some of you have been led by the Spirit of God to bring in a special seed and sow it. Great. If the Lord tells you to do it, what should you do? Do it. All right? If He tells you to do it, do it. If not, show up. Get your breakthrough anyway, all right? Just whatever the Lord says to do, do it. That's next Sunday. Today, we are dealing specifically with addictions. Addictions. Now, getting back into the stronghold, just to make sure we all understand what we're talking about. The original text of our Bible, your New Testament, was written in Greek. And so it makes sense to know what a lot of these words mean in the original text. It helps you to understand and to clarify. And the Greek word for stronghold is the word akaroma. Now, the word akaroma literally means, and it's this is the definition in the concordance, and this is in every pastor's library all over the world, a prisoner locked by deception. It's a prisoner locked, not by an actual prison, but locked by what? A deception. In other words, you've been lied to about something in your life, and now you are living your life by something that's not true. Living your life based on something that's not true. And so we learned, of course, that we need to expose that lie, identify that lie, and then we have to replace that lie with the truth of God's word. It's not enough to just identify something. It's not enough to just expose something. I mean, a lot of us know people in our family, and we could point out every flaw in their life. Well, you need to stop drinking, and you need to stop cussing, and you're too mean, and you're this. That's great, jerk. Thanks for pointing that out. It's not enough to just point out a problem. I want to identify it, but I want to replace it with the truth of God's word. That's where the freedom comes. So that's what we have been learning to do, is replace it so that we can be free in Jesus' name. The Bible says that it's the truth that sets us free. So I want some truth in my life so I can have God's freedom. Somebody say amen. By the way, I'm going to need a little feedback this morning. I will preach better, and I may even preach faster if you guys say amen. So if you're getting hungry, here's some amens. Jesus, I shouldn't have said that. But today we're dealing with addiction. Now, question, how many of you in here this morning, those of you watching online, thank you for joining online, how many of you in here in some way, whether directly or indirectly, maybe it affected you personally, maybe it affected somebody that you know, maybe it affected you in a major way or in a minor way, but how many of you in some way have been affected by addiction? Look at this room. Nearly 100% of us in this room have been affected by addiction in some way, in some shape, in some form. And it's a difficult thing that we've all gone through. And the thing about addiction is that when you start talking about addiction, most of us, our mind goes to or starts to think about the worst case scenario addictions. We start thinking those that are addicted to cocaine or addicted to some really, really devastating narcotic or illegal drug, or we start thinking of those that are addicted, you know, or have explicit sexual addictions or alcoholics or, you know, all of those things, gambling and all the big ones. We all think about that, but here's my working definition for this service and for this message. An addiction is anything that I do that I don't want to do, but I can't figure out a way to stop doing it. An addiction is anything that I do that I don't want to do, but I can't seem to stop doing it. And that starts to affect all of us. That starts to make an impact in all our lives. And we all have to deal with that in some way. And so in our lives, if there's something that we're doing that we don't want to do, but we for some reason can't seem to stop doing it, I know this, it doesn't make our life better. It doesn't improve our life. it makes it worse, it makes it complicated, it makes it difficult, it all kinds of things. And we could start listing these, and I might list them here in a bit, but you could list all kinds of different things. There are some of us that your addiction isn't a narcotic, you're addicted to streaming media. You binge watch Hulu and Netflix until your eyeballs fall out. I mean, right now, probably everybody in this room is addicted to our phone in some way. Listen, people are so addicted to their phones now, we'll have a baptism service, and I have people asking me if they can take their phone in the baptismal so they can take a baptismal selfie. And you know what my thought is? I'm holding you down about 2 extra seconds. We're going to give you an underwater selfie. I thought, dear God, people are crazy. That's an addiction. It's something that you don't believe you can live without. Lord, have mercy. Like, what are you doing? Showering with your hand out of the shower just so you can still watch? I mean, this is insane what we've turned into. We get addicted to things that we believe we can't live without. And what happens is it begins to control our lives. And our lives aren't better. Our lives are not better for this. It could be food. It could be shopping. It could be spending. It could be sports. It could be anything. A lot of people are addicted to work. There are a lot of people addicted to not working. Anything that I continue to do that I don't want to do but I can't seem to stop, that forms an addiction and a bondage in your life. Now, let me just start by, we're still in the beginning of this message, and I've got some heavy stuff that I'm going to really jump into. And it's some heavy. Anytime you start dealing with this, it gets personal, and I can't help that. So before I start getting super heavy, I'll start with something a little bit lighter. I need some participation on this one. So if you're here today and you would like to admit something with me, I'm going to ask you to help me out here. If you have an addiction, like I have an addiction, and you are addicted to coffee, let me see some hands go up. Let me see. Yeah, look at all these addicts. Coffee. Now, I'm going to admit something to you. So about 2 years ago, I despised coffee. I hated it. I didn't like anything about it. I was thinking, it's nasty. It's like drinking dirt. What are you guys doing? It smelled bad. It looked bad. It looked like dirt. Looked like muddy water that you played with as a kid, and everybody's pouring all their junk into it. I thought, that's disgusting. And then I learned it came from a bean. Like, bean juice? What are you drinking something from? I don't want to drink something from a bean. Beans, it reminded me of a poem. Beans, they're good for the heart. The more you eat, the more you know, I don't want your bean juice. Dear Lord. My dad, who loves coffee, he would say, you want to go to Starbucks with me? Well, yeah, I'll go with you. What do you want? We pull up and they say, what do you want? Dad's like, he names this thing, and I'm like, mocha choca, frappa loca. I don't know. I don't want anything. Give me a hot chocolate. Give me a water. I don't want your nasty coffee juice, all right? I don't want it anymore. And so we were sitting around. I would laugh at this, too, because they would say, the first time I went to Starbucks, they were like, what size would you like? I was like, a small. No, we don't have a small. We have a tall. Well, I'm tall. That to me means I need something bigger. I don't want something tall. I want something small. No, then you want a tall. I'm out. Their own little language. Forget this mess. It's its whole little coffee culture. I don't want anything to do with it. So we were sitting at an elders meeting, and one of the elders sat around, and he was talking to me about coffee, and he's like, listen, you've just been drinking it wrong. Let me help you out. And so he ordered me something one day, and he said, you try it this way. And I took a drink, and I was like, all right, elder, I'll take a drink. I took a drink, and I was like, well, that's not bad at all. I took another sip. Next thing I know, I'm chugging this sucker. And not only did it taste nice and hot and delicious, it gave me a buzz. And for a pastor to get a buzz, that's something special. So the next day, I went back and got another one. I was thinking, man, are y'all like, Pastor Josh, did you have to spend your money? No, because he also gave me a gift card. So in my mind, God had already provided my next buzz. Jesus is Lord. Thank you. Started with just a drink. Next thing you know, man, I am down in these suckers, and I am a coffee addict now. If I got an addiction, that is it for sure. Loving me some Starbucks with the rest of you guys. I'm into the culture and everything. I know I order special things on the way. It's insane how quickly things turn. Let's talk about real addictions for a moment. You know what nobody ever says to themselves? Nobody ever says to themselves, hey, my life is going so great. I mean, my life is going so well. It's going so good right now. I want to screw everything up with an addiction. Nobody ever says that, but yet it happens all the time. Nobody ever says, you know what? My marriage is going so great. Life is so good. Family life is good. God is blessing us. I'm going to screw it up by looking at something, or I'm going to screw it up by starting to take some pills and ruin my entire life. Nobody ever says that. But guess what? It happens all the time. Nobody ever says, you know what I need today? I want a cigarette. But I don't just want. I want to start smoking so much that I become a chain smoker, that my whole life is focused on smoking, to the point where I always smell like it, that maybe in my 50s I'll die early of lung cancer. Nobody ever says that, do they? But it happens all the time. Nobody ever says, you know what I want to do in my life? Praise the Lord. I want to drink alcohol to the point where it consumes me. It rips my life into pieces to the point where my kids hate me and they're going to spend half their money talking to a counselor, telling them how much they hate me because I was never there for them. Bless the Lord. Nobody says that, right? But it happens all the time. That's the power of addiction. Nobody ever starts out with the mindset, I want to be an addict. I want something else controlling my life. I want death and destruction in my life. I want to hurt people around me. Nobody ever starts that way, but yet for some reason, it continues to happen over and over and over again. But see, I've got great news for you because God has a word for us today. That word is deliverance. There is a breaking free moment for every single person under the sound of my voice in the name of Jesus. God has a word. He can help you. You can beat this. You can overcome. You can defeat every addiction, whether it's a big one or a small one. He can give you the power through the word of God and the spirit of God to overcome and defeat it. Let's look what the Bible says. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 14. It's in your notes. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your what? Mortal body. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body. What does mortal body have to do with? Is it your mind? Yeah, it's part of your body. Is it your thoughts? Yeah, your thoughts part of your mind. Mortal body. Your lungs? Yes. Your mouth? Yes. Your eyes? Yes. Your ears? Yes. Anything that has to deal with your physical body, not your spirit. Paul says your body. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body. Let's keep reading. So that you will obey its evil desires. Do not what? Offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather than offering our bodies to sin, what do? We offer ourselves to God. Verse 14, now watch this. So sin will never be your what? Master. So sin or your addiction will never be your master. Now remember, the New Testament was written originally in Greek. So that word master, the Greek word translated here, means to rule, to have dominion over. It very, very literally means to be lord of. So don't let your sin, don't let your addiction, don't let your stronghold be lord over your life. Don't let it be lord. It shall not have dominion over you. It won't control you. He says there shouldn't be anything that's lord over your life except Jesus. Don't let any of this mess be lord over your life. Now, you've got to see the backstory here. Because here's what you've got to know. Remember, your spiritual enemy, Satan. The Bible says he has one purpose. Jesus said this. He has one purpose. That is to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, God, his heart, it beats, its love for people is so great that the Bible says he sent Jesus for us to bring salvation and healing because God so loved the world. Now, since Satan cannot hurt God, he goes after what God loves. He can't touch God. He can't hurt God. What's he going to do to God? Nothing. So his way to get back at God is to hurt the thing that God loves. Who does God love in this room this morning? He loves you. He loves us. So Satan is after stealing, killing, and destroying the things and those who God loves, his children. And so what he's doing is he wants to substitute anything at all to be Lord over your life other than Jesus. He's going to do any, whether it's a substance, whether it's a thing, it could be a number of things, but he wants to have anything over your life, lording over your life, controlling you, mastering you, anything other than Jesus. Anything. Which, by the way, isn't that our mission here at New Life Church? To what? Make Jesus Lord. Fist bump somebody. Fist bump somebody. Make Jesus Lord. Right? So Satan wants anything other than Jesus to be Lord over your life. Anything. And so he has put together this incredible strategy of addictions. Addictions that end up controlling, manipulating, becoming Lord over our life. And the Bible says, but that sin, that addiction, should not be our master or our Lord. By the way, rabbit trail real quick while Pastor Josh is thinking of something. That's why, hey, parents, we've got to do better. Are we raising our kids to make Jesus Lord, or are we raising our kids and our family to replace him with other things to be Lord? We better be careful, because we're raising a generation that doesn't make Jesus Lord. What do you think the enemy's going to do to that generation when Jesus isn't their Lord? That's for another time. Nothing but Jesus should be Lord. To a believer, nothing but Jesus should be Lord. He's our master. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. His word controls our life. His spirit controls our life. Jesus should be Lord. Not sin, not an addiction, not a stronghold, not a struggle. Jesus. So you guys ready for this? I'm about to get all up in your business. Give somebody one of those looks like, oh, here it comes. Because here we go. Are you guys ready for this? Here's the big question. Here's the big question that everybody in this room has to ask themselves when it comes to breaking free and dealing with strongholds. What is mastering you? Who is your master this morning? Who is really Lord over your life? Now, no more pretending. This is not prom where everybody's dressed in their best and you look pretty for the photograph. That's not what this is about, all right? This is about being honest. This is about being truth. This is about being transparent. No pretending, no games, no masks, no secrets, no more hiding. I want to come clean. I want to confess before God. I want to confess before people. Who is mastering you? What is mastering you? What is your master? Could it be something as simple as coffee? Could it be something simple as a caffeine addiction? It could be smoking. It could be smoking marijuana or smoking weed. It could be smoking crayons in 2019. There's kids that are like, they were popping, what, laundry detergent tablets and insanity? I mean, dear God. I start thinking about all these things. I think it could be tobacco products. It could be, you know, dipping, you know, nothing sexier than dipping. My bad, I went there. I'm picking on somebody. Big old turn on right there, right? It could be drugs. It could be illegal drugs. It could be legal drugs. It could be a number of things. It could be alcohol. It could be gambling. It could be the internet. It could be your phones. It could be television. It could be Netflix, Hulu. It could be Netflix and Hulu are the equivalent of TV cocaine. They really are. The people who live on it. You can't do anything without it on. It's just always on. I mean, it could be your phone, like I said. It could be eating. It could be dealing with food, overeating, undereating. Listen, right now, there is a war going on between people who love Chick-fil-A and people who love Popeye's chicken. And I'm so angry. I'm so angry because I got Chick-fil-A. I had it yesterday. It's awesome. You don't beat Jesus' chicken. It's the best chicken ever. And now we got people who saying Popeye's has a better chicken sandwich. Well, I wanted to find out for myself. That aggravates me. There's a war going on over food right now. Some of you are addicted to Dairy Queen, which admittedly right now sounds kind of amazing. Thinking about it. Pop that sucker upside down. It don't fall out. That blizzard stays right in that cup. And we're laughing. But the real question that remains, what has mastered you? Now, whenever I start talking about what has mastered you, here's where a lot of people go, psh, I'm not mastered by anything. They get defensive. They start to push back. And I knew that would happen today. I knew it would happen. So I've got six questions. Now, these are not my questions. These are questions that I put together for this message. But these are six questions that are going to find out whether or not you are mastered or not. So I want you to look down. If you are mastered, if you answer yes to three or more of these questions, it's a very good chance that you are being mastered by something other than Jesus. First question, do your family and friends say that you have a problem? Because if they do, it's likely you're mastered. Are you mastered? Second question, do you continue even though you're hurting people? Do you continue to do it even though you're hurting people? If you answer yes to that, it's likely that you're mastered. Are you mastered by something? Third, do you arrange your schedule around it, whatever it may be? If you answer yes to that, you might be mastered by something. Well, next question, can you go a week without it? At least. If you can't, you're likely mastered. Next question, is it leading you to isolation, causing you to hurt your relationships? Is it isolating you? Because if the answer is yes, then likely you're mastered. And the final question, and this is one of the toughest, are you trying to keep it a secret? Ooh, told you to give somebody that look. See, Satan, again, wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Those are not three pleasant words. Those are not three words that you can wonder, well, maybe he doesn't want to really steal, kill, and maybe he's just after he wants us to have bad days. No, steal, kill, and destroy. He's relentless. His pursuit, his strategy. And so that's why he attacks the thing that God loves, us. There's a spiral of destruction. It's in your notes. A spiral of destruction when you start dealing with addiction and you start struggling with this. It's in your notes, and I didn't want you to fill all these blanks in. I just wanted to go through them real quick. But here's what happens. He starts by making your addiction part of your identity. He starts by making your addiction a part of your identity. Have you ever noticed people who will identify by their problem, by their addiction? I'm a smoker. No, if you're a believer, no, you are not a smoker. You're a child of God who smokes. People who identify by their problem. I'm a user. I'm an addict. No, let me tell you something. If you have given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, remember, love won't leave you alone. Love won't let you go. Even if you're in the tomb. But he starts by identifying you by your addiction. And the reason why is he wants you to personalize it. He wants that to become who you are. How you see yourself, how you talk about yourself, how you think about yourself, how you present yourself, your posture, your relationships, all of that. I am, and then you fill in the blank with what you do. I am this. I am a gambler. I am a struggler. And next thing you know, it's personalized. And then what happens is when you try to break free, you hear a guy like me preach Jesus is Lord and he wants to be master of your life. And then you come to church and you start struggling with, yeah, but I keep failing and I keep bombing and I keep messing up and I keep quitting and I can't keep, you know, all of a sudden you become increasingly hopeless. Because you've identified yourself as that thing, as that addiction, as that problem. And you can't relate in the church. You can't connect. It's a cycle. It's a cycle. You try to give it to God, but it doesn't work. And so you feel like this huge loser because something else is lording over your life. And then here's what happens. He takes it even further. Any threat to your addiction becomes a threat to you. Any threat to your addiction becomes a threat to you because if I am an alcoholic, if I am a drinker, and you come, all of a sudden someone shows up in your life and says, hey, you need to cut that out. That's destroying you. You go, hey, who do you think you are to tell me that? Next thing you know, in your mind, that person who really God loved has sent because they have a message of hope for you or they really love you and want to see you break free, who just brought something to your attention because they care, you see that person as the enemy because they're coming after my good friend the drink. And now you see people who God has placed in your life as hope and healing as the enemy. It's a stronghold. It's an addiction. The more you get into it, here's what happens. You lose friends. You lose money. Your health deteriorates. Your family is hurt, which further wounds your struggling self-esteem. It is beating you up. It is destroying you. You feel so bad that finally, because you're in so much pain, you take another hit just for relief. And the vicious cycle starts all over again. It's a cycle of destruction. And this whole time, you are serving this false Lord this addiction in your life, that entire time, he's destroying you. Not the addiction, the devil. You see that? Do you see this now? Do you see what he's doing to people? Do you see how he's destroying lives? It happens so often. That very thing that you, in your mind, enjoy, the hit, the fix, the relief, it is taking you out. Taking you out of this life one day at a time. Day by day, hour by hour, he is stealing, killing, and destroying. And people are just struggling. What I do, it's who I am. Do you know that that is a lie from the pit of hell? Now listen, I understand that there are some great 12-step programs, different step programs that focus on this, and I'm not trying to get into an argument about all that because I know there's some success in that, and I'm not challenging that approach. I'm not getting into all that. And some of these methods I even believe in. Some of them we've done here at Celebrate Recovery and different things that have helped a lot of people, and I'm all about those things. I do know this. One of the things they require people to do, though, is to internalize and actually become that thing I am. And so I know people who have not had a drink for 30 years, but when they show up, they still say, I'm an alcoholic. And again, I know the value of that. And in a practical way, I know how that all operates. But I want you to listen to me. Listen to your pastor for a moment, all right? In the sight of God, you are not what you've done. That is not how God sees. Are you even ready for this? God doesn't just see you. He doesn't just say you're not what you've done. He also doesn't just see you as you are. He sees you for the potential, for who you will become. For that new life that he's placed in you. That's how God sees you. Dear God, if I could just get a church to see themselves for 10 seconds how God really sees them, we'd set this world free in a month. He sees the potential in you. See, that's why you don't make excuses. That's why you don't say, well, my grandpa was angry and he was a drinker, and my dad was angry and he was a drinker, and I'm angry and I'm a drinker, and we all have red hair, and so we're just mean. I'm not picking on you redheads, my bad. No, that's not how God sees you. That's not how this works. It's not who you are. I'm going to give you three pieces of good advice. Everybody say good advice. There's a reason I'm calling it good advice. I'll explain that in a minute. Three pieces of good advice. The first one is this. Write this down. How can I make Jesus Lord fully over my life, Pastor Josh? Number one is this. You got to can the excuses. No more excuses. Stop making excuses for why you are not living free. In fact, I'm going to do something. I am declaring New Life Church, this entire property, this entire sanctuary, everything around us, a complete excuse-free zone this morning. No excuses. Cut it out. No more excuses. No more justifying why you can and why you can't and why this. Nope. No more excuses. Luke 14:18. Look at this verse in Scripture. Jesus is telling a story about a guy who's preparing this amazing banquet for everybody. I'm talking about a feast. I've talked a lot about food today already, haven't I? I said, if you amen, I'll go faster. It's working. Luke 14:18, Jesus is telling this story, and this is how it begins. He says, they all alike began to make what? Excuses. They all alike began to make excuses. The first said, well, I just bought a field. I got to go see it. Excuse me. Another said, I just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm on my way out. Excuse me. Another said, I just got married. Life's happening. Lots going on. I'm too busy. So I can't come. Excuse me as well. And Jesus is wanting us to understand, when he told the scripture, he's wanting us to understand that God is inviting every one of his children, every single one of his creation, to experience his freedom. He's inviting you to live this freedom. And if you make an excuse, what you're doing is you're excusing yourself from God's best. You thought you were justifying and excusing why you still struggle, but what you're really excusing is you're excusing yourself out from the banquet. you're dismissing yourself from freedom. This is what Jesus was getting to. He said, what is your excuse? Well, I can't quit. I've tried and I just can't. And I don't have, you know, a lot of people are in denial. Well, I don't really have a problem. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You answered probably 5 out of 6 of those wrong when I asked the questions, what are you mastered by? No more excuses. Well, I can quit anytime I want. Well, then why haven't you? Cut out the excuses. Cut them out. No more excuses. Stop justifying why you're not free. A message like this demands transparency, demands honesty. It demands it. And the beautiful thing is that God sees right through our lies. He sees right through our excuses. But see, because God is so good, He didn't create us to be puppets. He didn't create us to control us. He gave us a free will. He gave us the ability to choose. And it's because love is not love unless there's a choice involved. He chose to send Jesus. He wasn't forced to. He chose it. Jesus chose the cross. He wasn't forced to. It was His choice. You have to choose freedom and accept all that God has for you. You have to choose to receive God's best in your life. No more excuses. Well, I've done everything I can do, Pastor Josh, and I just can't seem to overcome. I can't seem to break free. I can't say, well, let's see what God says. And I want you to hear this and own this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Put it on the screen. For you can do what? All. Through who? Him who gives us strength. I can do all things, everything. Not of my own strength, not of my own ability. I've tried on my own and I have failed miserably. But through Jesus, there is not a thing I can't overcome. There's not a thing I can't break free from. There's not a thing in this world that has more power and more strength than Jesus. And if I've got Jesus, I've got it all. That's the word of God. No more excuses. Number two. Cut the ties. Oh, this is going to be tough. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be misled. There's that deception. What does bad company do? Corrupts. It corrupts. Good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. If there is someone or something that in any way leads you to a deeper addiction or leads you to addiction to that false Lord, cut it out. Oh, that's tough. If you have someone in your life who is a friend, you claim that they're a friend, but that friend encourages you to go deeper in an addiction, that person is not a friend. Cut them out. That seems harsh, Pastor Josh, because I'm supposed to love these people and represent Christ, but you haven't been. If you're not strong enough in your faith to lift them up, they're stronger than you are. They're pulling you down. They're not a friend. You're not ready. Now, I'm going to say this, and y'all just love me, all right? There are people who God delivers, and their immediate heart is to go right back to the people that God delivered them from, who are dealing with the same thing they are. But they've not given God enough time to renew their mind. You are not transformed because of your spirit. That's new life. You're transformed through the renewing of your mind. That takes time. And so you don't just go right back into the mess that you got right delivered out of. You're not ready yet. Let God season you. Let God strengthen you. Let Him build that foundation. There will be a moment. There will be a day where you can go back and that won't faze you at all. But let God get that work done in you. Don't be so quick to rush back into that mess. If there is somebody or something that is pulling you down and you can't break free, cut them out. Unfriend them. Stop texting. Stop calling. Stop emailing. Stop it. You got to stop it. Cut it out. That also means this. If you've got problems with pornography, cut it out. Give your phone or your computer or your passwords to someone you trust to hold you accountable so you can't access that smut. Cut it out. If you're still old school and you got a stash of dirty magazines, burn them. Cut it out. That means this. If you came here today believing God to be set free from cigarettes, before you leave this place, put those cigarettes in a trash can. Get rid of it. Cut them out. Well, I know that seems harsh, Pastor Josh. You're mean. It's because you're hungry. No, here's the problem. Here's the problem. We've been playing games with addiction. How has that worked out for this region, by the way? We've been playing games with addiction for way too long. You've got to cut the ties, whatever it is. If you are sinning sexually with someone over and over and over again, you've got to cut it out. You've got to separate yourself. I don't know why this seems so complicated. You've got to. Here's what it comes down to. You and I have to choose to refuse to live one more moment in darkness. We've said this before, it's worth saying again. Darkness is the only realm where the enemy has any authority. He works, lives, thrives in darkness. So the more darkness you invite and welcome into your life, the more world you give the enemy to beat you up, steal, kill, and destroy you. So do everything you can to be in the light. That's a choice. Choose light over darkness. Look what the Bible says in James 4:7. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. And then what? Resist. Resist. Who are you resisting? That addiction? No. Who are you resisting? The devil. Resist the devil, and then what? He'll flee. If you don't submit yourself to God, then you resist the devil, he's going to laugh. He's going to start throwing haymakers, and you're going to get knocked out. But if you'll submit yourself, therefore, to God, then resist the devil, he will flee. That leads me to this other question. What ties do you need to cut? What ties do you need to cut? See, some of us, it's time to start really fighting back. Some of you have been playing games. Some of us have been playing games for so long, it's just become a silly little thing. Meanwhile, day by day by day, moment by moment by moment, month by month, you find yourself less and less in God's will. Find yourself with less and less of God's presence. Because Jesus isn't Lord. It's time for a lot of us. Listen, take the gloves off and start fighting back. I'm serious. Start actually fighting back. Fight back. Fight back. Don't just give in. Don't just immediately yield. Don't just immediately tap out. Fight back. God says, he says, I've given you every weapon you need. These are not normal everyday weapons. These are divine, inspired, dynamic weapons from heaven that will help you overcome and beat. See, Jesus knew. He knew we'd be tempted. He knew we'd struggle with this. He knew it would be difficult. That's why the enemy, he comes after you. And he doesn't tempt you in your strongest moment. When did the enemy tempt Jesus? When did he tempt Jesus? After 40 days of fasting. He fasted 40 days, Jesus did. And then the enemy tempted him with food. What a jerk. He didn't tempt Jesus on day one. Jesus' belly was still full from the fish he ate the day before. He didn't tempt him day two, week two, week three. He waited 40 full days till Jesus was exhausted, physically, mentally, emotionally spent, but spiritually strong because he had fasted and prayed. He didn't just go on a 40-day diet starvation plan. He fasted and prayed, but that's when the enemy came. When do you think the enemy's going to come and tempt your life? Right in the middle of a church service? Nah. When do you think he's going to come tempt you? Cut it out. Cut it out. Resist the devil. Fight. Third piece of a good advice. You've got to fill the void. You've got to fill the void. You've had a void filled with your false lord, with whatever has been mastering you, whatever's been controlling you, and this is where we've been struggling. You feel down, so you do what you got to do to get up. You feel sad, so you do what you got to do to get happy. Maybe that means a substance. Maybe that means a relationship. Maybe it means it could be a number of things. Whatever it is, you're feeling pain, so you do whatever you can do to ease that pain. You feel depressed, and so you end up hanging around the wrong people because they lift you up, even though you know those people don't help. But you'd rather be around the wrong people than be alone. That's what a lot of people do. Next thing you know, they're in that cycle of devastation and destruction again. Fill the void. Here's what the Bible says in Ephesians 5:18. Don't get drunk on wine. Now, right here, you could fill your own false lord instead of don't get drunk on wine. It might be this. Don't get high. Don't smoke meth. Don't eat and purge. Don't be angry and lash out. Don't rage out. It could be a number of things. Whatever it is you're dealing with in addiction, don't, whatever it is, don't do it, which leads to debauchery and death and pain and more sin and more destruction. Instead, he says what? Be filled with the Spirit. See, Jesus knew, once again, he knew that we were going to face these kind of issues and these kind of temptations on this life. He knew it. So he said, listen, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the one who can help you through all these problems, all these issues. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I can't be here in person to personally make sure that every single one of you are going to overcome this. I can't do that. That would be a lot of Jesus's. He said, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to make sure that everybody's covered all at once. So he says, now, instead of filling yourself up and filling this void up with the stuff that's messed you up, fill it with the Spirit. Fill it with the thing that helps you overcome. Fill it with the thing that gives you strength. Fill it with the thing that gives you guidance, that gives you peace. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, again, in the original Greek, the word be filled actually means be being filled. Stay filled. Filled. Over again. Stay filled. Get filled again. How much? Every day. How often? As much as I need to, every single day. Stay filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can replace and fill that void with something that's straight from the presence of God. Be filled with the Spirit. So I can the excuses, I cut the ties, and I fill the void. Now, right there, what I've just given you is good advice. It's good advice. And the reason why it's good advice is because a lot of us will take these steps and on our own ability, we'll start to execute and apply. Problem is that on your own ability, you might be able to make this work for a week or two or three, but at some point, you're ultimately going to fail. On your own. And that's where a lot of us have been. We've had temporary moments, seasons of freedom, but we've not truly lived free. Eventually, what happens is we get tired, we get weary, and just like I said, the enemy, how he knows when to attack and knows when to tempt, that's when he shows up at your weakest moment. And when he does, you fail, you struggle, cycle starts all over again, and next thing you know, we're in a problem. So that's why this is just good advice. It's good advice, but there's a reason why this there's something that makes this godly and divine and inspired. And I'm going to give you the God advice. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Now, in the context of this verse, Paul was messed up. He had something going on, and the Bible calls it a thorn in his flesh. Well, I don't like thorns in my flesh, so that's pretty terrible he's dealing with. I don't know what it was exactly. There's been a lot of discussion on what it was. I just know this. It aggravated him every single day to the point where he begged God three times, take it away, take it away, take it away. He's miserable with this. And all three times, God gave him the same response. And this is what God basically says back to him. He says, no, Paul. He says, my grace is sufficient. My grace is enough, Paul. It's all you need. He said, for my power is made perfect in what? Not in my own strength. It's made perfect in my weakness. Therefore, I boast all more gladly about my weakness, so that what? So that Christ's power may rest on me. And then he says, that's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weakness, because when I am weak, then what? That's when I'm strong. See, that's why Philippians 4 says, I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ. Paul discovered the secret through this. He discovered the secret to the power of God. He discovered the secret. It is this. Stop pretending that you've got it all together. Take the mask off. Stop making excuses. Get on your face and say, God, I can't do it without you. I've tried. I've failed. I need you, Jesus. I need you now more than ever. I need the Holy Spirit to fill me. I need the power of God to dwell upon me. I need the Word of God active in my life. God, I need you. Jesus, I need you. And Paul says, I figured this out. I figured this out. The answer isn't a 3 or 4 or 5-step program. The answer is Jesus. Paul said, that's the answer. That's the answer. See, it's... you've got to stay tapped and connected in the power of God. I'm almost done. We're going to pray. See, a lot of people say, all right, Pastor Josh, how do I stay connected? And there's not, admittedly, there's not a squeaky clean, simple answer for every single person in here, because all of us are different. We all receive and learn differently. And for I know this, there are some people that they can get into the Word of God and they dive into this Word and they meditate on it and they memorize it and they study it and they speak it and they pray it and they believe it. And then what happens is that Word becomes revelation, it becomes life, and all of a sudden they've experienced true freedom just from studying the Word of God. I know people that are prayer warriors. They are prayer ninjas. They will pray and get into the presence of God and worship and sing and praise. And what will happen is the Holy Spirit comes on them during that time of prayer and that'll break them free. And they'll experience that true freedom just from praying. I know people who it comes to, they've gotten their freedom because they've become so radically crazy when it comes to being generous. They've just gotten reckless almost with their generosity, giving and sowing into people and helping people and encouraging people. And through their giving, God has blessed them with freedom. There are so many ways that God has come through and blessed people. I know people that just become so Christ-like. They just get so focused on Jesus, they can't keep their eyes off of Jesus. Everywhere they go, it's Jesus. They witness, they share their faith, they lead people to Jesus. And they find their freedom through that. And so it comes through so many different ways, but there's one common thing that I thought about that they all have done. One thing that no matter who experienced true freedom, they all got it this way. And that is this: every single person who found their freedom, they learned to put God first in their life. They made Jesus Lord. They made Jesus Lord. That tells me something. That means if you wake up tomorrow morning and you got a busy day and you don't have 6 hours to pray all day, then the very first thing that come out of your mouth still better be, "Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Fill me today." They have made Jesus Lord, not over one day or 5 days, over their entire life, over every part of their life, their family, their business, their finances, anything and everything that they could make Jesus Lord, they made him Lord. And I don't know a full explanation of this. I wish I did. But I know this, in the Word of God and in our lives, God has a way of blessing things that we put him first in. When we make him Lord, he has a way of just placing his hand of strength and power and deliverance on us. And all of a sudden, everything that we couldn't get on our own, he makes happen because he's God. And he gets glory. So what's the answer, Pastor Josh? I'll tell you the answer. The answer is Jesus. It's Jesus. What's the answer? It's Jesus. What's the answer? It's Jesus. Is it grande Jesus? Sure. With an extra side of what? Jesus. Give me Jesus. That's what I need.